Erev Shabbos, everyone. Welcome back to 3 Ideas in 30 Minutes. This is actually, I believe last year, this was our first Shabbos. So we've now been back for a year. And I want to thank you all for coming out. The regulars on a Thursday night, we appreciate it. And continue to come. And we'll continue to learn. Our learning tonight should be only from the neshama of Esther Tila Bas Gabriel Pinchas. Obviously, it was a hard day for Klal Yisrael, the four soldiers that were killed in Gaza. Should be a nechama for their families. And it should be a ksiva chesima tova for us, for our families, for our community, and for all of Klal Yisrael. Amen. Okay, it's not a long parsha this coming Shabbos, but it is a packed parsha. We are going to start in one of the most famous pesukim in the parsha. Lo bashamayim hi, velo me'ever layam hi, that it's not in the heavens, and it's not across the river, ki karav elecha adavar ma'od, because it's very close to you, beficha uvevavcha laso. So it's very close, it's very accessible to you. And obviously what the pasuk is talking about is that the Torah is accessible. It's a machlokas, what it's talking about. Is it talking about davening? Is it talking about learning? Is it talking about tshuva? Whatever it is, the Torah is clearly trying to communicate that it should never feel that it's outside of your grasp, that it's not something that you cannot do. But ki karav elecha davar mo, that it's right in front of you, it's accessible to you. And Art Scroll has definitely accelerated that. I always say Art Scroll's robbed us of any excuse that you had not to learn. I can't learn Chumash and Rashi, Art School took care of that. I can't learn Gemara, Art School took care of that. Or Chaim, Art School took care of that. Now even Tosfos, which to me was like the last bastion of something that was really hard to do, Art School's taking care of that as well. It's taking care of Medrash. What was that? It's everything, anything. So whatever excuse we have that we can't learn, we don't have the background, we don't have the knowledge, we don't have the language, Art School has robbed us of all of that. That is Pashup Shot in the Pasuk. But I saw here in the Sefer Areshes Vaseinu, which is written by Rav Eliyahu Schlesinger, we've quoted the Sefer a number of times over the last few years, and he has here such a beautiful, beautiful reading of this pasuk. He says, if you look at the word bashamayim, at the root of the word bashamayim is the word sham. What does the word sham mean?
There.
There, over there, as opposed to po, which means here. Sham means over there. Listen to what he says. I want to read to you in Hebrew because it is so poetic and stunning. He says, Chipushim rabim bein adrachim sovim abrios l'chapes es yodam. Everyone is always chasing after paths to reach their destiny. Everyone is always running after something that's going to bring them that sense of fulfillment. Et chayeyam. Everyone thinks my life will get better. Sham. Over there. B'chol makom yichpeshu v'yichatetu b'meretz rab. You're always searching with vigor. Achkan, liyad, maftan, betayim. But what they don't realize is that the threshold of their house, they are blinded to the light that is shining out of their own houses. We always think that it's going to be better sham, that it's going to be better over there. And we don't realize sometimes the light that exists within our own homes. He says, harbe shamim. They're always sham. There's always over there. Matziv lo adam limataras chayav. There's always someone there. There I'll find the purpose to my life. Sham munach ha'otzer aganas. Over there I'm going to find wealth. Sham emsas atzmi ha'oved umischamek mimenu kol yamim. Over there I'm going to find myself that I've lost along the way and that has eluded me all these years. Sham adesha yarok yoser. Over there the grass is greener. Sham agia lepiska chayai. There I'm going to reach the pinnacle, the peak of my life. Sham iya yoter tov. There it's going to be even better. Sham, over there. We always think it is better over there. As we say, and he even said it, the grass is always greener on the other side. Listen to his reading of the following medrash, Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Kafa alem har kigigis, that when Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, what did he do? So he held the mountain over them like a barrel. And he says, Imatem mekablim es haTorah mutav, if you accept the Torah, good. V'im lav, and if you don't accept the Torah, sham tiyek v'raschem. What does it mean, sham? Over there will be your burial. Why doesn't it say, po? Here will be your burial. Why? Over there. And he says, this is the exact point. This is the exact point. Because rodev kol chayav bereikanis achar ezeh shu sham. People spend their entire life running after the sham. They spend their entire life running after something over there. That eludes them and has been hidden from them all these years. Mianifrat Lifanav Sham Chadash. And when you get over there and you still haven't found what you're looking for, so Nifras, there's going to be sprouting out or spreading out. Sham Chadash, there's always going to be something new. You're never going to find fulfillment if you're always looking for it in Sham Hamotir Es Koma Shekavash Rik Navuv Lelo Sipuk. Sham is always going to make you leave you feeling empty, because there's always going to be another Sham. You're going to make the other $100,000, you're going to want the next $100,000. You're going to get this kind of car, you're going to want the next kind of car. You're going to have this construction house, you're going to want the next construction house. You're always going to think the happiness is there. I once had a car salesman. Usually, think about a car salesman. You think of such, not always the most highest. But he was a tzaddik yesod olam. I had a car salesman who was really a tzaddik. He actually wrote beautiful poetry. I have his poetry. And he and I text still, even though he's retired. And he was a real, real righteous person. He wrote a lot of poetry about homeless people because he worked down in Fort Lauderdale, and he used to pass a lot of homeless people on his way to work. So he used to write a lot of beautiful poetry about seeing homeless people. Anyways, why do I tell you about this tzaddik? Because the first car I ever rented from him, leased from him, so he gave me a really good deal. And here I thought, I was like, oh, I'm such a good negotiator. I gave me such a good deal. So I asked him, we were bonding. A Jewish guy, he's bageling me up the wazoo. I could open a whole bagel store based on that conversation. So I said to him, let me ask you a question. Why are you giving me such a good deal? I said, you're almost like underselling me. He said, Rabbi, I don't care about this car. But I know that every time I sell you this car, the next car, you're going to want something a little bit more. And the next car, you're going to want the next feature and the newest feature. And he goes, and eventually I'll have hooked you in. So he goes, it's a loss leader. I'm going to lose a little bit on this one because I know I've got you now. That's the sham. There's always going to be a sham. You get this feature, sham, you want the next feature. Sham, I don't find happiness here. Maybe if I accomplish that, maybe if I chase it after there. Therefore comes along the pasuk and says, lo bashamayim hi. It's not in the word sham. That's not where you're going to find happiness. That's not where you're going to find fulfillment. That's not where you're going to find your purpose. Ein lecha ma lechapes bemerchakim es yudcha v'sipukcha mechayecha nilchaim. You don't have to go far to find your destiny or to feel satisfied from your oppressed life. Ha'atvus bebedidusa. If you're feeling sad and loneliness, you can go sham. Whatever the sham is for you, it could be shopping, it could be the new car, it could be a better job, it could be a better paycheck. Whatever the sham is, your problems are going to chase you. Hamerirus ve'achzava, if you have bitterness, tirdovoscha l'chapesos asmechalolos, it's going to chase you as well. If you're always looking sham, you're never going to find it. Kan liyadcha beficha nimsa ma'she'atam mechapesham. You don't have to chase it over there. It's right in front of your face. It's right in front of your face. It's not over there, but rather it is po. It is right here. That, says Rav Eliyahu Schlesinger, is the homiletic interpretation of lo bashamayim hi. It's not in the sham. It's not over there. If you have problems here, they'll chase you there. With the extra money, with the extra car, with the extra house, it'll chase you. If you don't deal with the root issue, it's going to chase you always. Until we learn to find satisfaction in what we have. I remember I was once talking to a Rebbe of mine, and we were talking about Aliyah. It was when I was not married yet. And I said, I was 24, 25 years old. I said, maybe I should just make Aliyah. Maybe, just hang it up in America, make Aliyah, and everything will get better over there. He said, Phil. He should call me Philip because that's my name. He said, if you make Aliyah because you want to be in Israel, you should make Aliyah. He said, if you're making Aliyah because you're running away from a problem here, the problem will continue over there. That's the sham. If you're always looking sham, if you're always looking somewhere else, it's not going to solve your problems. You have to learn to find the satisfaction and the purpose and your destiny. Po, here. Sham teikuraschem. That's his reading of the Gemara and Shabbos. That if you're always looking sham, you're never going to find it. Sham teikuraschem. It's going to be the end of you. It's going to be motzias adam min olam. You're never going to find satisfaction in the world. Rather, it's ezu ashir hasomeach bechalko. It's learning to find happiness and joy and purpose and destiny and satisfaction. Po, not by looking sham. I thought that was such a stunning homiletic interpretation of the pasuk. I hope you did it as well. Okay, idea number two comes from Rav Huttner. Pachad Yitzchak. I'm sorry, I know each week I try to have an English one. This week I was drawn by a number of Hebrew sources, but as always, I translate everything. Okay, Rav Yitzchak Hutner in his first Mamar in Rosh Hashanah. So we know that the beginning of the parasha is Atem, Nitzavim, Hayom, Kuchem, that you are all standing here today. And all the Meforshim talk about Nitzavim Kuchem, that you are standing here today as a representation of the Achdus of the Jewish people, of the unity of the Jewish people. Now, we throw around the word unity a lot. Certainly after October 7th, we have the word unity coming out of our ears and nose in every drusha. We've spoken about unity ad nausea, that you don't want to hear about it again, but yet I'm going to speak about it again. Because Rav Hutner writes the following beautiful idea. On this notion of unity, we know you always read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. Nitzavim Hayom Kochem, that notion of unity is the prerequisite to Rosh Hashanah. Says Rav Hutner, listen to his language. Chiddush gadol matzanu be'avodas hayom shel Rosh Hashanah. He says this is a novelty in Rosh Hashanah. We think Rosh Hashanah is about, oh, I have to be intense in my relationship with Hashem. That it's about me and Hashem. He says that's not the case. Because we see by Nehemiah, we learn in Sefer Nehemiah, those who know me know I'm obsessed with Ezra Nehemiah. So when Ezra Nehemiah come back to Eretz Yisrael, and they have their first Rosh Hashanah, and nobody really knows what's going on, because even in that short period of time, people have really lost their entire knowledge of Judaism, and they forget the calendar, and they're intermarried, and they're Michal Shabbos, and they're not keeping morals and ethics. It's a disaster. And Ezra Nehemiah introduced them to Rosh Hashanah, and everyone gets all scared. They hear the Yom Adin, and they start shaking. And Nehemiah says back to them, Vayomer lehem, lechu ichlu mashmanim v'shasu mamtakim, go home and have a festive meal. The Rosh Hashanah doesn't have to be sad. It can be serious. Doesn't have to be sad. But go home and have a festive meal. V'shalchu manos le'in nachon lo. And you have to send, shalach manos, you have to send gifts to other people. That was Nehemiah's advice for Rosh Hashanah. Now, when you and I think of Rosh Hashanah, we don't always think of that. We think of Shalach Manos on Purim. Purim's a happy day. Purim's a festive day. We understand the notion of unity on Purim. Lech Knosis Kol HaYudim, Esther says, to go and gather the entire Jewish people. What does that have to do with Rosh Hashanah, says Rav Hutner? He says, L'meidu anu mikan. We learn from here. Shemaseh HaChesed U'Pu'ulos HaTava L'Acherim. When we talk about kindness, and we talk about doing nice things for other people, Nikvaim b'matbeya kedushas hayom shel Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to read that again. Nikvaim b'matbeya. It is built into the essence of what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah, yes, is about davening, and yes, Rosh Hashanah is about tshuva, and yes, Rosh Hashanah is about bein adam l'makom. It's about us relationship with Hashem. But says Rav Hutner, at its core, you want to know what Rosh Hashanah is about? It's about a day of chesed. It's about doing good and kindness for other people. Now, how does he know this? I didn't obviously quote the entire mimer for you here, but he says we know because Rosh Hashanah is the creation of the world. What do we know about the creation of the world? Olam chesed yibana. That Hashem built the world on chesed. That was the premise. That was the prerequisite for the entire world. The Ramchal in the beginning of his Derech Hashem talks about this, that Hashem is the paradigm of chesed, because Hashem didn't need the world. Hashem doesn't need us. Certainly doesn't need to do good things to us. We were just talking about a cup of coffee. Hashem could have given us caffeine pills. Right? It would have done the trick. There's something geschmack about a coffee, right? There's something about sitting down in the morning with a nice cup of coffee, with the smell and the steam coming up. Perhaps that is a little Danish to go along with it. Now we're really in Olam Haba, right? Hashem didn't need it. He just given us caffeine pills. Okay, he could have given us caffeine pills. No, but Hashem wanted to do good for us, says the Ramchal. Doesn't talk about coffee. That was me talking about coffee, right? But Hashem wanted to do good, says the Ramchal. So Olam Chesed Yibana means that Hashem introduces us to the notion of Chesed and the way that he built the world. The way that he built the world is a model for us for how we are supposed to live our lives. And so therefore, says Rav Hutner, now we understand perfectly why Nehemiah on Rosh Hashanah tells people to go home, not just have a nice meal for yourself, but Vishalchu manos le'ein nachon lo, but also to send gifts, to treat other people nicely. Shemaseh achesed upulos hatava, that doing chesed and doing kindness for other people, nikvaim b'matbeya kedusha shorosha. It's part of the kedusha, it's part of the sanctity of Rosh Hashanah. Now, this means a lot of things. Because what this does is it's entirely a paradigm shift of what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah can be a introspective day. It could be a serious day. It's a lot of day where we're talking about us and Hashem and our relationship with Hashem and right, all scary, daunting things. But says Rav Huttner, at its core, Rosh Hashanah is actually about the way we treat each other, which means the way you smile on Rosh Hashanah, the way you greet someone on Rosh Hashanah. Think about it. There's no other time of the year where we go so much out of our way to talk about the types of greetings that we give people on Rosh Hashanah. All right, so we have Good Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom, right? My kids laugh at me because depending on when I walk around the circle on Shabbos or I'm walking to Shul, so I anticipate, is this a Shabbat Shalom or is this a Good Shabbos? I'm usually right. Every now and then I get it wrong, right? All right, but we don't make a big deal about that. Rosh Hashanah, it's the Ksiv Ksiv HaTayv HaLa'alto L'chaim Tov M'Shalah, right? It's like a whole Megillah that we say. Why? Because greeting people is important in Rosh Hashanah. That's part of the Kedushas Hayom. It's part of the essence of the day. It's not just about me and Hashem, but it's about how I am treating other people. And that's why we read the Parsha before, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, that we focus on unity, on Achdus, on the notion of being one people in one community right before Hashanah, because as Rav Huttner says, that is the prerequisite. Ola Michesed Yibaneh. As we recreate the world on Rosh Hashanah, we don't do it alone. We don't live in a vacuum. But rather, we do it together with other people. And that is the notion of chesed. I spoke about this in Rosh Hashanah 2 years ago. I don't know if you remember. I'm guessing you don't remember. I'll remind you. But the Medrash describes very beautifully that when Hashem went to create the world, each of the letters of the Aleph Beis came forward and said, can you create the world with me? And each gave proof of why Hashem should create the world with them. And so, you know, this letter came and said you should do it with this. And this letter came with that. And Hashem rejected them one after another until
the bet came.
The letter Beis came. You remembered. Okay, remember. Good. Okay, the letter Beis came, bet. And Hashem says, okay, I'll create the world with the letter bet. Ask the Maharal, what did the letter bet do to win the argument? All the other letters had a good argument as well. Maharal says it's because Aleph represents one, bet represents two. It's when it took the world from being singular, it introduced us to this notion of plural. It's the letter that gets us to think beyond ourselves. And so when Hashem looked to create the world, he didn't want the letter Aleph. Letter Aleph is one. It's not what the world's about. It's not about me living alone in my own silo, separated. But it's when the letter Beis comes along and it introduces us to Reboy, to the notion of many, the notion of community, the notion of being together. Hashem says, that is the foundation upon which I want to create my world. That is Olam Chesed Yibaneh. That is Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. That we stand together. It reminds us of what Rosh Hashanah is really about. Yes, it's about tefillah. And yes, it's about tshuva. And yes, it's about myself and my relationship with Hashem. But it's also Nikvu B'matbeya Kedushas Hayom. It's built into the essence of the day is Chesed U'pulas Hatav L'Acherim. Doing nice things for other people. And so I encourage you, I implore you, that as you get ready for Rosh Hashanah, and you're going to do the apple, and you're going to perhaps prepare the simanim, and you and your spouse, depending on the circumstance, you're going to be preparing a whole meal and whatever, take a minute, and find 3 people who had a rough year, 3 people, someone who may be homebound, call them up, send them a text message, I'm thinking of you, wanted to wish you a happy new year. It could be people you know, people you don't know. That is the essence of what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's not just about our personal tshuva, but it's about lifting other people up around us as well. That is idea number 2 from Rav Huttner. So idea number 1 was the beautiful idea of Sham, Lo Basham Mayimi. It's not over there. Stop looking for happiness and success and fulfillment there, but rather it's here. Sham, if you're always looking there, Teitu Kuraschem. You're never going to find it. Idea number 2 from Pachad Yitzchak is about what Rosh Hashanah is and what Rosh Hashanah is not. Rosh Hashanah is not a selfish holiday. Rosh Hashanah is a holiday where we emphasize our connection to each other and our sense of community. Idea number 3 is a very personal idea. And the reason why it's a personal idea is because it comes from Rav Avram Mordechai Danzig, the Chai Adam, colloquially referred to as the Chai Adam. Here it's his introduction to the Chachmas Adam. But the Chai Adam, for those of you who know, have been in the shul, know that I'm a direct descendant on my mother's side from the Chai Adam. My great-grandfather is named Rabbi Avram Mordechai Danzig. He was named after his I believe, great-great-grandfather, who was the Chai Adam, Rav Avraham Mordechai Danzig. And so I have an affinity for the works of the Chai Adam. His introduction to the Chachmas Adam is one of the most stunning, beautiful introductions that I've ever learned. His introduction to the Chai Adam is also stunning, but his introduction here is very moving, and I'll get to that in a second. We know, again, we're going to come back to Lo Bashamayimi, Velo Meiver Liyami, that it's not in the heavens and it's not across the ocean. The Gemara writes over there, the Gemara in Erevin says over there, Lo Bashamayimi, what does it mean that it's not in heavens? Lo Timsa Begasei Ruach, that it's not heavens or high up. So it's not in someone who's arrogant. If you're arrogant, you're never going to be able to learn Torah. What's Velo Meiver Liyami? I'll get to the pack in a second. What's Lo Meiver Liyami? It's not across the ocean. Listen to the Gemara. Lo Timsa, Torah is not found. Lo Besacharnim, Velo Betagarim. Not amongst the merchants and not amongst the traders. In other words, someone who is constantly traveling, someone who's constantly working, they're never going to have time for learning Torah properly. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara, Lo Meiver Liyami, means that if you're traveling all the time for work, you're never going to become a Talmid Chacham. That's very depressing. Don't turn off the shiur right now. Okay? Says the Chai Adam in his introduction to the Chachmas Adam. He says, you might be asking, the Rav Avraham Mordechai Danzig was a businessman. He at times was successful, at times very unsuccessful. Perhaps part of his unsuccess is what he's about to describe, right? But he was this businessman. He was not a rabbi in the sense that I'm a rabbi. In fact, he talks about how he refused to ever take money for any of his Torah knowledge. He wanted to do a lishma. Okay, so he was a businessman. So he writes, you might be asking, what does a businessman like myself have the right to publish a sefer? Who am I to be able to publish a sefer? He says in the bottom paragraph, you see I have an underline, the line up from that I'm going to start. Halozea isha danubo shahaya misochre eretz Frankfurt v'Leipzig. They say about this person that he's always doing business in Frankfurt and Leipzig more than 50 years. V'toraso emas nasis v'atora ida lo meiver liyami. So what right do I have to publish a sefer if after all the Torah says lo meiver liyami? That's what the Gemara I just read. And the Gemara says, if you're involved in business, then you can't have access to Torah. You can't be a Talmid Chacham. So what gives me the right to write the Sefer? He writes, Dalecha. Go to the next page. Listen to what he writes. He differentiates. If you go to the middle paragraph where I have that bracket, he describes... He gives an example of a woman who can't have children, but I'm going to skip that for now. He says, "Kach Aisha Yisraeli miyazoves Torah if a Torah miyayish mimenu, azagam hi merachekas mimenu velo nishar benafsha od koach aleda." He says, if a person isn't learning Torah, and they because they've been a distance from Torah for so long, they forget about Torah altogether, then they're finished. They're never going to have a relationship with Torah. Avalim ein daito nezva rak machmas ones iefshar lo lamonu dabikba. But if a person can't learn Torah because he's busy, he's involved in business, but he's always davek by the Torah, he always remains connected to the Torah, chas v'shalom shetisrach mikmenu. He's never going to be chas v'shalom distanced from Torah. It's always going to be part of him. Therefore, he says in the next line, kein omer ani al atzmi. Listen how amazing this is. He says, this is what I'm saying about myself. Hagam shenasasi lemerchakim, even though I have to travel for work, vehaisi socher, and I'm always involved in business, af chachmasi amdali, anyone will testify about me, ki benisiyasi laderech daiti aleh, even when I'm traveling, my mind is always on Torah, uvi yeshivasi bechanus daiti aleh, when I'm in a store and I have a free moment, I'm learning Torah, v'teisi li and testify about me, she afilu b'shas masu matan, even when I'm involved in a business deal, Pamim harbe ayadaiti aleha, behir feirish okushya befrat, beshisha mitzvos asay, shekasavti b'chayadam klalal. He says, I'm always thinking Torah. Even when I'm negotiating, even when someone's in the store, even when I'm traveling, I'm always involved in Torah. So can I always have a Gemara in front of me? No. But I'm always involved. I'm always connected. I never sever that connection to Torah. He says, now we understand that when the Pasuk says that lo meiver liyami, that Torah is not found in people who travel, he says. That's if you travel and, as a result of your work, you separate and distance yourself from Torah. If you live what we'll call a double life, that there's the life I have at home or in shul, and then when I go to work, there I'm a shark. There I don't treat people with respect. There I don't keep halacha. There I'm not interested in the values of Torah. Then you're living two separate lives. That's low meiver liamhi. That it's not going to be found in that guy who does business. But if even when you're doing business, even when you're in the hospital, even when you're on a business trip, even when you're on a, you're always thinking about Torah, whether you're consciously thinking about Torah, whether you're thinking about Torah because you want to live your work in accordance with halacha, and therefore you're thinking about Torah, he says, then you remain connected altogether. Now look at the last paragraph, how he finishes. Again, for me, I get somewhat emotional when I read this. He says, V'ya'idu alaya sochrim. People who I do business with will testify about me. Now that in and of itself is amazing, right? Think about if we polled your coworkers, if we polled the people that you do business with, are they going to say, that Yaakov Shmuel, every time I dealt with him, it was with midos and with in menschlichkeit, and he always went above and beyond with me? Or is he going to say, that guy, he's a shark, he's a manuvel, he, you know, quote unquote, Jewed me? Like, how are they going to talk about you? So he says, V'yayidu alai asochrim. The people I do business with are going to testify about me. She'afilu beis nisiyasi b'Leipzig. Even when I'm traveling in Leipzig, lo manasi likach imi gemara mikro mishnah. He says, I always had a sefer with me. Ve'afilu b'shas yirid kimat shelamadati b'chol yom. And even when I'm traveling, I learn every day daf echatzi gemara, page and a half of gemara. Chutz mishnayos, in addition to the mishnayos that I learn. Okay, so he was a talmid chacham. V'chai roshi. V'shein ani kosev zos li'gai. So he's buyer. I'm not telling you all this because I'm arrogant. I'm not telling you how much I learned because I'd be boastful. Kimani umechayai, because who am I? I'm a nobody. Vim Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai omer im lamad to Torah harbe al tachzik Torah la'atzmecha. If Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, even if you learn Torah, don't be haughty, because that's why Hashem created you. So to me, v'chol shkenim yilmod me'at dema'at, asher kol achad mechuyev bazeh. I just learned. I learned a little bit. I'm not sharing this with you to be arrogant. V'chiyeshis barush maniach tefillin b'chol yom. Are you arrogant because you put on tefillin every day? So too, we have an obligation to learn. I'm not telling it to you to be arrogant. But turn the page. So why is he telling it? At the end of the last page, and then turn. I'm sharing with you so you should know. And so you should tell other people. That we have an obligation to learn Torah. V'ulai mimeni yilmedu b'nei v'yotzei chalatzai. Perhaps one of my children or descendants will read this. Imafilu echad me'elef. Even one in 1,000 of my descendants will read this. V'yeli l'schus k'tzas. And as a result, they'll be inspired to learn more. It'll be a schus for me. Now I learn that, I read that, I get the chills. Because ulai, perhaps I am the elef, echad me'elef, I'm the one in 1,000 who's reading this, who's immensely inspired by the words of the Chai Adam. Now it happens to be his Yurtzeit's coming up. The Yurtzeit of the Chai Adam is Dalet Tishrei. It's right after Rosh Hashanah every year. So it's very fitting that we quote this here. But I find it unbelievably inspiring. Here is a businessman who is not just a Talmid Chacham. He wrote Svarim. Wrote Svarim that we learn to this day. The Chai Adam, the Chachmas Adam, it's studied in yeshivas, in homes to this very day. He was a businessman. He was in many respects just like me and you. He went to work during the day. He had to travel 15 years. He's traveling to Leipzig. And he says, I testify about myself that even though I was in business, my mind was always on Torah, either to keep halacha or to learn Torah. And therefore, it remained a part of me. And that's how he understands this pasuk of V'lo me'ever liyami. Now that brings us back to our our parsha. Remember the pasuk said, lo me'ever liyami, that it's not across the ocean. The Gemara there says that someone who's a merchant or a trader, someone who's in business, they can never have success in Torah study. Says the Chai Adam, you're wrong. That's if, when you go to work, you bifurcate your life, you differentiate between your pride, your quote-unquote Jewish life and your work life. He says, if that's the case, then the Gemara is right. But if you go to work, and you have Torah on your mind, and you have a break during the day and you grab a Chumash and Rashi, if you grab a Mishnah, I love learning Mishnayos. Those of you know, now I'm on my third cycle. I try to finish Shas Mishnayos every year. So why do I love it? It's 11 a day, 12 a day, depending on if it's a leap year or not. Why do I love it? Because a Mishnah can be learned anywhere. You could have 2 minutes at an appointment and learn a Mishnah. You could have 5 minutes at a gas station and learn two Mishnayos, right? It's something you could take anywhere with you, and it's so user-friendly in that regard. A Chumash and Rashi could be the same thing. A Pasuk could be the same thing, right? But it keeps you connected to Torah. Says the Chai Adam, if you remain connected to Torah, then Lo Meiver El Yami, as the Pasuk in the Gemara describes it, doesn't apply to you. And he says, I'm proof, because even though I was involved in business for 15 years, to ask anyone, they'll tell you that I was always learning. He says, and I share this with you not to boast, but that people will learn from it. And so if he could do it, then any of us can do it as well. So we saw three ideas in 30 minutes. The first was from the Sefer HaReshis, Vaseinu, Lo Ba Shamayim Hi. Don't look for happiness and purpose and fulfillment, Sham, over there, but rather it's Po. It's always right in front of your face. It's always right in front of you. Then we saw number two, the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Huttner, reminding us about what the essence of Rosh Hashanah is about. It's about looking out for other people. And therefore, we're each going to take upon ourselves that in preparation for Hashanah to reach out to, B'li Neder, three people. Three people. Try one who doesn't expect it. I promise you it'll make you feel extra special. It'll make you feel good about yourself. Reach out to three people you think can know. That is the greatest preparation we can do for Rosh Hashanah. And the third idea is this idea, Lo Meiver Layamhi, that it's not amongst the traders, it's not amongst the businessmen. If you're a businessman, it can't be a Talmud Chacham. Says the Chai Adam, not true. Not true. It only applies if you bifurcate your life, if you live a double life. But if your entire life is a holistic love and commitment and fidelity to Torah, then absolutely, if the Chai Adam can do it, then any of us can do it as well. I wish everyone a good Shabbos and a Ksiva Ksima Tova.
Thank you.